player.
Supernatural.
Is anyone here? Can you please give us a sign?
Supernatural. Confessions.
All right, welcome to another edition of Supernatural Confessions. This is the audio podcast today. My name is Tim O, once again joined by founder of Supernatural Confessions and paranormal investigator, author as well, Mr. Eugene Tay.
Hey, hello Tim, and hello everybody listening in on this.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. And of course, we would love for you to share this podcast with your friends so that we can get a bigger following as well. And at the same time, get more stories to discuss. Now, we know it's been a really, really busy week for you, Eugene. Gene, we've been following your exploits on our Facebook page.
Yeah, this week in particular has been very busy. Everyone's posting up their stories. Could be because 7 months is around the corner and strange things are happening.
Oh, yeah. One of your posts actually caught a lot of attention about a case that came in at 6:15 a.m. in the morning. And you said this is actually your auntie, her line dancing group.
The downside about being in the field that we are in is that you will get calls at pretty much the odd hours of the day. So 6:15, I got an urgent call from my auntie who says her line dancing friend is going crazy. She can't take it anymore. And she's finally talking about it because her friend has gone for an eye operation for cataract. But when you do an eye operation for cataract, you don't actually do a whole eye transplant. It's just a cornea that you have a transplant for.
Exactly.
Right? So something went wrong with that surgery and she had to have a whole eye transplant.
Mm.
Doctor said you have to have a longer recovery period, so don't strain yourself, no activities.
Was the eye transplant successful?
Yes, it was successful. The body did not reject the eye. Till today, she still has that eye in her head.
Okay, how long ago are we talking about?
About a year and a half. One full year of suffering, and in the last 6 months, she was trying to find answers. That's where she started to actively come out and start looking for answers.
Now, when you say she was suffering, we're not talking about vision-related problems because she was fine with the vision.
Vision was fine. So unlike the movie The Eye, she couldn't see things like a shadow or a spirit of the dead floating around her.
So when you say problems, what kind of problems are we talking about?
She could hear voices. For us, we can also hear voices, kinda, but that's mostly our own conscience. And we are able to shut it off, push it aside, you know, tell our feelings to like dumb it down. But for her, she said that she could hear a voice, like with tonality, with a personality in that voice.
Consistency, it's the same voice, recognizable.
Yeah. I would always tell her that I want my eye back. You do not deserve this. And when she was about to do anything, that voice would always try to tell her what the owner of the eye would have done.
I see.
So it's almost like having a constant voice in your head telling you what to do.
Now, where did she exactly get this eye from?
Well, we don't know the source of where the eye came from, but I don't think they will reveal any of this information anyway. But for a whole year, she's been hearing voices. So typical of any haunting, when you actually share such information with your close ones, the natural reaction you're going to get from people that loves you will be to deny what you are feeling and always pin it on something else.
How old is this lady, if you don't mind me asking?
She's about, I think, in the 50s.
I'm just going to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
She's not suffering dementia or senility or anything like that, right?
Not that I know of. And when I spoke to her in person, she sounds very lucid. You know, she could answer you and you would not have guessed that she's like suffering from dementia or anything like that.
You know, I mean, obviously when you're recovering from major surgery, there is a certain amount of medication involved. Do you think any of this medication is giving her hallucinations or affecting her mind?
That's what we all assume at first. Like, usually when we start asking questions for people who we are investigating, we try to ask all the obvious questions first, like, could it be the surgery? Could it be, you know, the healing process? Could it be the medication? Could it be the trauma? So there's a lot of what if could be. But she's off medication for almost a year. So it's probably not the medication.
You say she's been hearing voices ever since the successful transplant of the eye. What kind of instructions or what kind of conversations has she been hearing?
According to her, the voice sometimes can acknowledge what she says and respond to what she says. But it's not as if the level of conversation is so clear where I ask and answer and we're having like a two-way conversation as if you're friends. No. Most times it's the voices telling her stuff and sometimes very few times answering her questions.
Right.
I think if I were to try to put myself in the shoes from what she explained to me, it's like actually having a earpiece in your head.
What kind of conversations did they have? What kind of instructions? What was this this other intelligence telling her to do?
I'm angry. I want to kill you. I want back my eye. It's always about, I'm angry if you have taken something from me. I want it back. But no further discussion on where should I give it to? Is there a spot I can go to and dig out my eye and give it back to you? So again, although it's an intelligent voice, it's not an intelligent conversation.
What does she think is going on?
She totally believes that it's a spirit of the previous owner who died in probably a crash, because the owner keeps saying car crash, get accident. Hopefully you die in an accident. So she's guessing that the voice is the owner of the eye has died in an accident, and now she's the new owner, and the ghost is not happy because he cannot pass on to the next side because his eye is not complete. I don't know.
And when you spoke to her, how did the conversation end? I mean, where do you go from here? Did you have any suggestions on what she should do?
So I offered to get her to see any spiritual master that she's comfortable with. You can see the Ustad, you can see the Ajans, the Tangkis.
Sorry, what is an Ustad and an Ajan?
So Ustad is like a Malay wise man, like a spiritual healer.
It's like a, not a Bomo though.
Ah, this is a good topic for another occasion, because most people assume that a Malay man who can do spiritual healing automatically is a Bomo.
Right.
But Bomos are medicine men whose alignment may not exactly be white. They can go into the dark side. But Ustad is more of a spiritual healer. They follow the Quran. They are using the power of Allah to heal people.
Okay, and what is an Ajan?
Ajan is what you call a polite term for a master or a guru if he's a practitioner of Thai arts.
Thai arts, okay. Now, obviously, I mean, in the races here in Singapore, the Chinese ones, the mediums, usually known as Tankis. And of course, what about the Indians?
You can call them gurus.
Ah, okay, okay. So
it's like a holy teacher, like a mentor character.
Now, did she mention maybe going to speak to a doctor about this, a psychologist, a psychiatrist? You know, because there's so many things that we've seen on TV or that we've read about, and there's so many terms that come across that come to mind. Like, for instance, is she schizophrenic? Does she have multiple personality disorder? Has she spoken to a conventional doctor about this?
She spoke to her surgeon about these voices, and he assured her it's going to go away soon. It's not uncommon for people who have undergone major surgery to hear voices.
Really? That's what he said?
That's what she said. He said.
Okay.
So I'm not sure whether he said that verbatim or that's how she remembered and that's how she related to me. This is like a broken Chinese telephone, right? But she has not really consulted any of the doctors that will be able to treat symptoms like schizophrenia or any of the mental disorders, because at the end of the day, that's going to be a taboo. That's worse than spiritual haunting.
Now, over the years, of course, we've heard about, you know, spirits attaching themselves to objects or to places, right? In this case, if what she says is true, based on what she is speculating, this is a spirit that's attached itself to an organ. Is this the first time you've encountered or you've heard about a case like this?
This is the first time I personally encountered on my own. Stories were shared by people around the world. Even a movie is made out of it, right? You take the body part of a dead person and he or she comes back to haunt you. So that concept of a dead person's body part, you know, transplanted to a living person and getting haunted is not new. So I think in stories like that, they must have some form of basis.
Yeah, well, please keep us updated. I mean, obviously, on this particular case, I'm sure you'll probably be getting in contact with her again. And of course, we wish her all the best.
Thank you.
All right, so let's move on to something else that kind of made quite a lot of waves on our Facebook page this week. And that was a photo. Okay, a photo that you actually managed to get from a friend who was staying in a hotel in Bangkok.
Bangkok, Thailand, is one of the hot spots for haunting.
Hmm.
Okay, so I will not even try to answer the why, but there's so many hotels in Bangkok that you hear stories. Even if you just do a Google and you type haunted hotel, Google will probably finish up and say in Bangkok.
Yeah, this one particular hotel though is actually very infamous.
The hotel's name is Amari Watergate. Okay, so they checked into the hotel, they took a selfie, and then they didn't think too much about it. That night, they all felt various different haunting, getting touch on the hand, you know, hearing voices, the bed, you know, there's someone sitting beside them. But what was probably the scariest thing of all that night is the toilet door locked itself from inside.
They woke up, they wanted to use the loo, and then it was locked.
Yeah, so they thought it was somebody else inside, your friend was inside. But then the friend was sleeping, she's there, it's like, who's inside? She keep knocking on the door, but the toilet's locked. They call up the concierge and say, we want a room change, something's wrong with our room.
In the middle of the night, after the toilet door was locked, okay.
And no questions asked, don't worry, ma'am, we'll find you a new room.
Okay.
Moved to the new room, the next 3 days there, nothing went wrong, everything was A-okay, so they didn't really think much about it. And then when they start scrolling through their holiday pics again, mm-hmm. and they came to this picture, and then they realized, hey, there's a face in our photograph that shouldn't be there.
So they actually saw this face, and they sent you the picture.
Yeah.
When you looked at this picture, what did you see?
Honestly, when I looked at a picture, I did not see a face.
Okay.
Not at the first glance. But that's the thing. When you point something out to me, you say there's a face, when I look at it close enough, I start to think there's a face.
Right. So for the benefit of our listeners who have not actually gone to our Facebook page, all right, to actually see this picture, once again, look for Supernatural Confessions on Facebook. There is a picture basically of these girls taking a selfie. In the background, there is, I can only imagine that's a closet with a door slightly open, right? And if you actually look carefully into the darkness inside the closet, you will see something, which I guess is what they are saying is supposed to be the face. Now, I will tell you straight up, when I took a look at this, there are many things that came to mind. I mean, it could be a set of towels that are stacked, you know what I mean? Maybe the light catches it at the right angle. And yes, I guess if you mention it's a face, yeah, I guess, you know, like Eugene says, you can start seeing one as well. But at the same time, it's also like looking at the clouds, right, bro?
Yeah, you look at the clouds, if I point out there's a dragon, and you look up long enough, you go like, oh yeah, there's a dragon. Now, so that's our initial thought. So, of course, you start Googling, start researching, start looking for other stories to corroborate this incident. And that's when I found two other stories online. TripAdvisor. One has a headline that says, stay at your own risk. Review at Amari Watergate. One star.
Wow. On TripAdvisor.
Okay, it says, room tip, do not stay at room 1028. They mentioned something about toilet as well. My dad felt that someone's in the toilet sprinkled water on his face when he was sitting on a toilet bowl. So that's what the guy has felt. And that's room 1028.
Okay.
The girls were living in room 1027.
Just next door, right next to it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, I mean, obviously, looking at the background of all these stories of Amari Watergate, do we know of any history? Why it could be possibly haunted? Was there a fire? Was this built on a cemetery?
Ancient burial ground.
Exactly.
No, I tried to search and ask around as best as I can. No, nothing out of the ordinary. No fire. No strange murder. But rumor has it, according to a friend of mine, that someone committed suicide in room 1027, and the spirit just gets stuck there.
Okay. All right. So when you actually spoke to the girl that actually gave you the photo, a friend of yours, personal friend of yours.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have no reason to believe she's trying to come up with some rubbish, lah.
For the longest time I've known her, she haven't once came up to me with a fabricated story. And I'm not even giving her any fame for this, so there is nothing in it for her.
Okay, so she has got no reason to be lying to you about this.
No.
So what's really interesting is that after we posted up this picture on our Facebook page, the comments that actually came in, and obviously there will be a fair share of skeptics, you know, people who say it could be anything, okay? Just use your imagination. But at the same time, there are also a few who actually believed that this was actually an apparition caught on film.
So apparently this guy, his name is, he goes by the name of Trishula Bearer. He says, yes, there is a male spirit, and the complaint individuals definitely stay near a large body of water based on the spirit type. So he goes on to explain what he can see and how spirits and their energy can actually be caught in photographs, strong enough for people like him to be able to detect what kind of spirits it was on the camera, was on the photo.
So this guy, he's not even saying that, oh, you know, this picture could have been doctored. He's actually just looking at it on Facebook and saying, yes, there is something there. And he can tell you about the features and he can tell you a little bit about the statistics of this apparition as well.
I tend to believe him on a certain level. When I start thinking about psychics in general, and I have been researching on psychic powers, and a close friend of ours, she is a developing psychic, and she found her psychic powers by accident because she started getting very accurate predictions and her intuition would be very strong. She's able to tell your fortune across the world just by having your name and looking at your photograph.
Wow.
You know, the conventional belief of you need to be in front of the person or in the haunted space to be able to detect the energy. Psychics, and this is not just a one-person story. Like, if you go online to, like, psychics.com or those, you know, dollar psychic, all they need is just your name and your photo, and they can tell you stuff. Because through the photograph, they can detect.
True. I mean, look, just this week alone, a bunch of Russians can tell how you're going to look in 40 years, you know, just by using their photo and a special app called FaceApp, right?
Oh, that's a smart way of doing it.
All right. So once again, thank you very much for joining in on the conversation. You can always just carry on in the comment section. Look through our posts on our Supernatural Confessions Facebook page. There is another very exclusive Supernatural Confessions home on Facebook, by the way. It is the exclusive closed Supernatural Confessions group.
You can get the link to the closed group from the Supernatural Confessions main page. If you want to get into deeper conversation with us, that's the place to go to.
One story which actually came up on this closed group was actually from Serena. I've actually taken a look at it and I paraphrased this a little bit, but I thought I would share this with our listeners. Serena says that on Tuesday was her mom's death anniversary. And as usual, she actually went down to visit her with offerings. Now, she made her way down to the basement where her urn was. And whenever she's down there, she does a general greeting. She will say, hello, how's everyone? It's me, and I'm here again to visit my mom. Now, usually there isn't any sound or reply, except for a few stares she gets from the humans around her. However, yesterday was a bit different. After her greeting, there was a sound of a pail overturning somewhere in the basement. Now, she investigated the entire area, and she found no one or any pails overturned. Well, at that point, she went to look for the urn of her friend's dad and another person around the area so she could visit them as well. Now, in the process of getting lost while she was searching for the urn, she came across an area with a portion of the lights off, so it was a bit dark. She only made it a bit into the dark area before she suddenly had an overwhelming feeling of stop, don't go any further. Now, she turned and she caught a glimpse of an urn with a picture of a lady who wasn't at all looking pleased in the photo. And this was located in the darkened area. Now, she had a pretty bad feeling about this. She moved on and finally located the two urns before paying her respects, and then she decided to return to her mother's urn. Now, while she was cleaning the area, she suddenly heard the voice of her mom, her late mom, in her mind, saying, go upstairs now. Go, go. So Serena quickly took her advice and she left the basement. So obviously this left her feeling a bit shaken, and she can't help but wonder if, you know, this was her mom's spirit basically warning her, and if it had anything to do with the lady that she encountered, the unpleasant looking lady, and this was her mom trying to keep her safe. So thank you very much for your story, Serena, for sharing. What do you think, Eugene?
I like the story very much. I like the idea that there is a good ghost or the spirit of our parents watching out for us. So this is a lot of tug on the heartstring for me.
Okay. So I've got a question, though. Usually, most of us kind of believe that if it's a peaceful transition, all right, you know, and it wasn't a traumatic death or the spirit finds peace, it moves on and it's no longer in this realm. What does this say if she is still feeling the presence of her mom there?
Yeah, that's the answer I wanted to know as well, because when people pass away, and we always believe that they will go to a better place. And for the spirit to still be there and able to warn us to leave, does that mean that her mom has not ascended?
Right.
Right. So that opens up another whole list of questions, like why she's still there. And where do we go after we die? Do we stay in the urn? No. So questions like this were bound to come up. And though it's a simple story with a very nice, warm-hearted end to it, it really makes me question things like that.
But there could be so many different ways we can speculate about this. In fact, just last week we were talking about portals, right?
Yeah.
And when we talk about portals, if they exist, it's basically a way for spirits to move in and out between realms. And I was just kind of thinking, just because a spirit has moved on to another realm, it doesn't necessarily mean they can't come back through a portal to communicate with those of us here.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the explanations. You know, spirit can go between realm, and that also means if you are from a faith and religion belief that talks about reincarnation, does that mean that the spirit has not reincarnated? So again, another question mark over there. There could be another permutation.
Actually, reading that story from Serena reminded me of another post on our Facebook page. There was a question posted by our moderator asking, how do you know when you walk into a room that maybe is haunted, to a haunted area? I remember Serena mentioning, oh, you know, she had an uneasy feeling. As someone who has investigated areas which are supposedly heavy in spiritual activity, what is this uneasy feeling that people seem to talk about?
The uneasy feeling differs from person to person. Some people walk into a room and they feel the air is very heavy. That's a very common phenomenon. Some people walk into a room and they feel goosebumps all over their body. Or they will say that, oh, I've been laughing, it's a good day, but the minute I walk into this room, I feel the air is very dense and everyone's very angry all of a sudden for no reason. So when you say that you feel uneasy, these are the little things that happen to your body without you realizing it.
I know that ET would actually say atmospherical pressures or something like that. I don't know what he means by that. If I were to chime in on this, I would say you start feeling very conscious of your movements, if that makes sense at all. It's like almost like you're walking into something thicker. You notice your steps. They feel heavier because you're noticing them more. Your movements become more noticeable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You walked into a spider web or something.
Oh, yes. Yes. The spider web one is actually pretty common as well. You know, you get like people say, oh, I walk along the field and I felt a spider web on my face. But actually, there's no spider, there's no trees around. So little things like this will happen and you will definitely become more aware of your surroundings because it's your body's way of being defensive. It's on the survival mode, right? Fight or flight. And that's when you start to look around, you notice your breathing, you notice your sweaty palms. That is the uncomfortable feeling.
So tell us about some of the physical manifestations for you personally.
These days, I'm a bit more aware of how I feel because the signs are very consistent. When I walk in, I feel my shoulders start to ache. Right? And I feel that the air is too dense for me to breathe, as if I'm in a sauna. And the temperature is all room temperature, right? But you know, when you go walk in the sauna, you find it very hard to breathe. So these are signs for me. Shoulder aching, and I have to take deep breath, like...
Okay.
I really have to pull in my breath, even though it's just a normal room.
Should I just be a dick and say, dude, maybe you're just getting old. That's why you're aching, you know, smoke too much. That's why, you know, hard of breathing. Okay.
But only in that room.
I guess if your feet starts aching, maybe because you got gout. I don't know.
Yeah,
right?
Holy shit.
So back to our Facebook page. There is another post as well that came in over our group. And it has to do with photos once again. If you look closely at this photo, it's a black and white photo. Features a bunch of people and you can actually see a figure in the background, and the caption says that person in the background is not actually supposed to be there. All right, as much as obviously we try to be open-minded enough to believe that all these posts that we see, there's something there that's worth investigating, there are also a lot of cases where photos like these have been doctored. So on a superficial basis, what are some of the signs that you look out for that would kind of tell you, this is kind of bogus, lah?
Doctored photos for supernatural is very, very common, right? Ghostly apparitions appear, you see through translucent person. And one of the easiest signs to spot a fake is when you can see the features of a ghost. Eyes, jawline, nose, smiling mouth, you know? If it's that clear, chances are it's fake.
Well, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because at the same time, we were just talking about how sometimes, you know, you look at images and it's a yeah, is it really there? Is it not? It could be. It could just be my imagination. We want something more concrete. But obviously, when we see something with way too much detail, then at the same time, we become skeptical as well.
Exactly. That is the conundrum that a supernatural community is facing. So usually when you look at, like, say, they take this photo, for example, it's sent by this guy called Tua Bugis. And Tua Bugis is a respectable person in Singapore who does a lot of heritage work. And he's been very respectful when he talks about cemetery and various holy sites. So for him to actually post a picture with him in it and to say that there is a ghost in the picture, he's not going to do it lightly at the risk of damaging his reputation.
You are more ready to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. On the surface, when I was looking at it from just a screen, it was very easy to say that it's a fake because I noticed there is a reflection on the spirit. Mm. And I thought, hey, spirits can't have reflection. That's a fake. Right. Mm. But when I zoom in, I'm looking at it right now and it's giving me the creeps because there is shadow in the room, but mm-hmm. that object or the entity that's standing there mm. is darker than normal shadow.
So what does that mean?
It's like light doesn't even bounce off it. It's right. just there, right?
Okay.
And the reflection on the shoulder that I thought was reflecting off her, it was mm. not. It was actually the handrail of the stairs. So mm. which means she is totally black, but at the same time, you can see light coming from behind her. So when I look at entities like this, it defies science. Mm-hmm. And that's when I can actually say that with some degree of certainty that this actually might be a real picture. But again, I'm not a forensic photographer expert in looking at fake photos or not. I'm just pointing out the obvious things like mm-hmm. if there's light bouncing on someone or you can see a features of a spirit, it's not real.
All right. So if you actually want to see this photo, it's not on our main Supernatural Confessions Facebook page. It is, though, posted up on our Facebook closed group. Okay. If you want to join this group, once again, you will find the link on Facebook or you can just type Supernatural Confessions. Okay. Two things will pop up in the results. One will say Facebook page and the other one will say closed group. Just click on the closed group and we can get a little bit more into some in-depth conversations with some exclusive content there as well. All right. With that said, once again, we want to say thank you very much for joining us. And should you have any questions at all, any feedback that you want to give, any topics that you would like us to cover as well, we take all the suggestions and we are very, very happy to get either Eugene Tay or ET to respond to some of your questions as well. Also, there is one thing that we wanted to bring up, right? And that is we're still trying to get Eugene to put together a ghost tour, especially with Halloween around the corner, especially with the Hungry Ghost Festival around the corner as well. And at this point, we are trying to establish interest, okay? So we're only going to consider moving forward with this if we have enough interested parties who are willing to come on it. So if you are, you know, put your hand up, tell us on Facebook that this is something you're interested in. And obviously, if we get enough of a response, then maybe we can proceed with this, yeah?
Right, I'll put up a poll on the Facebook page. You guys go ahead and click on it and let us know what you want us to do.
Okay, until our next podcast.
Well, my name is Eugene Tay.
And I'm Tim O. And this has been Supernatural Confessions.
Confessions, confessions, confessions.
Supernatural. Confessions.